Call the meeting in the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division to order. A quorum is present. Representative Sundin, have you reviewed the minutes?
I have, Mr. Chair, and I'll move approval.
Representative Sundin moves approval of the March 7th, 2019 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, the first bill that we are going to consider is House File 1502, Representative Fisher. I have to do a couple procedural motions. The following House files were heard previously in Environment Finance Division or the Water Division and are to be returned to Ways and Means Committee with a recommendation that they be referred to Capital Investment. I move item 3 on the agenda. This motion returns the listed bonding bills to Ways and Means with a recommendation for re-referral to Capital Investment. These bills were previously heard in committee. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian.
Mr. Chair, I'm curious which you said that they were heard in the Environment Finance Division, some of them. Can you remind me which ones we heard here?
Mr. Strohmeyer. House File 177, Lean. House File 214, Eklund. House File 450, Salk. House File 609, Hewitt. House File 952, David.
Okay. We heard them all?
Yep.
All right. In our previous meeting, you said that we were going to have, we're going to hear all the rest of these bonding bills, and you said that you had been instructed to assign a value to them. Have we assigned a value to these bills and the other ones before us?
Representative Fabian, what I said is we would prioritize. So these are the ones that we're referring by this memo are all the ones we have heard, correct, Mr. Strohmeyer? So they're all going of the ones we have heard, and then the ones that we're hearing today, we'll be referring each motion. So they are going to the each one, if we pass it out of the committee, will go to Capital Investment. There are bills that I have not scheduled for hearing.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
So any other discussion on item number 3? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. These bills that I'm going to move next need to be amended to reflect the previous division action, and two others require adoption of the Water Division reports. So the first one, I'm going to actually wait on these and get right into it, because I know we have so many people that are here to testify. So I would, rather than doing this procedural, I want to move to Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, then, I'm just curious if it's helpful to have a show of hands of people and bills. And I know you want to start with Representative Fisher's bill, but are there other bills that we are going to be hearing today that we've got people who've traveled a ways and we could take care of those folks first because the weather is deteriorating?
Representative Fabian, so I think what we've tried to schedule are the ones that are from outside of the Twin Cities. First, I know that Representative Backer personally asked me about the Red Path one.
Yeah.
So that may be the farthest away. I don't know if Representative Backer is here. But I do want to get the Fisher one done first because we have an amendment.
Okay.
So I'll be asking if they're here as we get into those bonding bills. And the more metro ones, like mine, will wait until later. Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, has the bill been moved yet?
Representative Fisher moves adoption of the Water Division reports on House File 1502.
That is my motion.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. The report is approved. Representative Fisher moves that House File 1502 be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Division.
That is correct.
Your motion?
That is my motion, sir.
Representative Fisher, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. I appreciate the opportunity to present House File 1502. This is a bill that deals with a voluntary certification program to address salt usage within the state of Minnesota. One of the things that came out over the last few years is our conditions of our waters in the state of Minnesota are starting to suffer more and more from the amount of chloride or salt that's ending up in our waters. One of the things that has been done over the years to start addressing this is highlighted in a report that comes from the EQB in 2015 about talking about chloride. There is a program that has been started by the state that they go through and certify our municipal, our government agencies, our government cities can go through a training with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and when they get certified in that, they find out they are able to reduce the amount of salt that they apply on the roads. There have been very strong success stories. Waconia saw a 70% reduction in salt after they went through the training. Prior Lake, they had a 7% increase in mileage, but during the same time frame, they dropped their salt usage by over 42% by adopting best practices. What this bill is to extend the program for private applicators. This is based on a success story that was highlighted in the Environmental Quality Review Board report for 2015 on New Hampshire. New Hampshire did the same thing in 2013, where they have made this available to private business owners and private applicators, and they found that since then they've decreased winter de-icing chemical by over 20%. So that is one of the reasons that we're bringing it forward. The bill itself does several different things. It first of all sets up the voluntary certification program, best management practices. It addresses liability so that when people have are following best management practices, they get a little bit of protection and liability, and then establishes record keeping so that they can establish what the best management practices are. So that, in a nutshell, very quickly, is what the bill is. I do have several testifiers. If you'd like, I can go ahead and have the testifiers come up.
Proceed.
Thank you.
Chairman Hansen, members, my name is Sue Nissen. I'm a master water steward. I'm certified level 1 and 2 smart salt training, and I'm a volunteer with Stop Oversalting. We are citizens advocating for the reduction of de-icer use. I want to thank Representative Fisher and Representatives Hansen and Heintzman for supporting this important legislation, and I'm here to speak in support of it. This little teaspoon, which many of you have seen, holds enough chloride to permanently pollute 5 gallons of water. It's alarming to me that there is no practical way to get it out. It doesn't break down. So once dissolved in snowmelt, we are going to live with this chloride forever. And it is permanent, and it is accumulating in our waters, especially our lakes. Now, common sense tells us that our native freshwater ecosystems cannot exist in saltwater, and the science is clear. It's toxic to aquatic life, especially to native fish and the food chain on which they depend. It prevents lakes from turning, and that means less oxygen. For humans, it's a health concern in drinking water. The list goes on and on. Damage to wildlife, pets, soil, plants, trees, infrastructure, public and private, bridges, roads, furnishings, vehicles, even my boots. So for every ton of de-icer applied, the back end cost of a ton of de-icer is about $3,500 for every ton. In the metro area alone, we put 365,000 tons down every year. So keep thinking about that 365,000 tons. I mentioned the chloride accumulates. 75% of what we put down stays where it's put down. This feels like a freight train of chloride accumulation and costs coming towards us. Since the 60s, the chloride has been steadily increasing. Evidence is 81% increase in the Mississippi River since 1985. Just last month came disheartening news that statewide 50 water bodies are now over the EPA impairment standard of 230 milligrams per liter for aquatic life. And sometime in the next 5 years, we're going to have 75 more water bodies join that. De-icers are the number one cause of chloride pollution. We acknowledge the important role they play in public safety, but the issue we bring to you today is over-application. Too much, unnecessarily, and driven by lack of training by commercial applicators and the property owners who hire them. We see it regularly, far too regularly, at nursing homes, grocery stores, apartments, offices, shopping malls. And our group, Stop Oversalting, got involved in this after recognizing the damage the chloride could do, and we decided maybe we could make a difference. So our story is about going out into the community, educating, and asking applicators to enroll in Smart Salt training. We knew that the public sector had gotten dramatic decreases, and so we figured that was possible because there was as much oversalting in the commercial area. And we have had lots of conversations. We counted up over 250. And we can assure you that training is definitely needed for the majority of the applicators, but the training alone isn't going to be enough. And the reason is fear of slip and fall lawsuits. It is by far the primary determinant of how much de-icer is applied. It's because of a widely held misconception, and I'm sure you've heard it, that more salt is more safety. So it's not that those applicators are concerned about the damage of chloride. They are exasperated over the crumbling infrastructure. Every spring, they're looking at dead landscaping. Many are fishermen. They care about our lakes and for sure our drinking water. But at every conversation we're involved in, at the end, something flips, and it comes back to that fear of lawsuits and the threat to their small businesses. So the bottom line is that for a commercial applicator and property owners that hire them, the best way to protect their small business from lawsuits is to use worst management practices, and that means to overapply. Members, the percentage of de-icer applied by the private sector is worthy of our time today. In my first ring suburb, where I live, 37% of the de-icer is put down by the private applicators. In less developed watersheds, it can be as low as 5%, but where we're sitting right now in a highly developed watershed, it could be up to 45%. So we're almost half of the de-icer we're putting down is commercial, so it's worth taking a look at this. And although the bulk of the problem is in the Twin Cities because we have a lot of development here, outstate is not immune. Road density and proximity to highways brings chloride pollution. So our group, SOS, thinks this bill is great news for Minnesota's lakes, rivers, wetlands, soil, ecosystems, and infrastructure. We support statewide voluntary training and certification because the aftermath of chloride damage might be most acute in the metro, but it's also statewide, so let's train statewide. We support the fee for training. Trained applicators will recoup that cost in de-icer savings. It's much cheaper to address this now on the front end then go to that big number on the back end when we're trying to dig out of chloride problems. And we support the liability protection and hope that the language gets worked out for MNLA members, but more importantly, for all Minnesotans. The liability protection will go a long way to replace fear of overapplication with best management practices as the industry standard. I know from talking to you that the legacy we all hope to hand off to future Minnesotans is functioning freshwater lakes and surface waters. This bill is a step in curbing over application and slowing down the accumulation of chloride. On behalf of the citizens of Stop Oversalting, I ask for your support on House File 1502 and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, and I think I've got, we've got one more.
Mr. Maluli.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Fisher. My name is Tim Maluli, and out of respect for your time, I've taken a few minutes to write my comments. But, of course, I welcome your questions if there are any. I'm a servant leader of the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, an organization of over 1,200 member companies and thousands of employees, including many companies that perform snow and ice management services. Our industry furnishes annually several billion dollars to the Minnesota economy. I personally own three companies. Each is focused on water use, reuse, management, and environmental stewardship. One of my companies performs snow and ice management services. MNLA, the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, a business trade association, my snow and ice specialty employees and I as an individual are in favor of this piece of legislation as a preventative measure to incentivize snow and ice practitioners to help protect our water resources by voluntarily learning snow and ice management best practices and implementing reasonable measures to demonstrate operating using the industry best practices. Since the program is voluntary, it is important to recognize human nature and establish reasonable incentives to employers and employees to obtaining the education and then embed that into their service offerings. Adequate record keeping of the practices, including a workable limited liability component, as has been included by other states, is an admirable means to balance business realities with the desire to do the right thing for the environment. As I mentioned earlier, each of my three companies is focused on water use, reuse, management, and environmental stewardship. My employees and I experience firsthand the effect of overapplication of chloride on surface waters and the landscape. Your support and passage of this legislation is an excellent carrot-based approach to better managing our environment while also serving our population with necessary snow and ice management services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. Any other testifiers? Members, do you have any questions for Representative Fisher or the testifiers? Is there anyone else who would like to testify on the bill?
Yep, we've got it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Connie Fortin. I own Fortin Consulting. It's an environmental consulting firm in Hamel, Minnesota. We have five employees. And we've been hired by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to develop this training we're talking about today and to teach the training classes. I would like to say I'm in support of this legislation, and I want you to know it's the best training program of its sort in the nation. Now, there is something I'm concerned about in the change language. There's a little change that says that the MPCA must consult with the U of M moving forward in this. And I'm concerned about that. My company works with the government all the time. We work with the Department of Ag, with the U of M, with the MPCA, and in general, government is slow. And when you tie one government to another government, will it speed it up? It will slow it down. And that's what I've seen in the pesticide world. I work on developing pesticide manuals, leading discussions and advisory teams, and I find my contracts with them and that process are twice as slow because they have to go through both. The decisions are slower. We have a great training program. We're nimble. We're quick. We're ahead of the nation. And what I'd like you to consider is give MPCA the freedom to add the people with the expertise they need at any given time and don't require them to be tied to another government agency. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your good work.
Is there anyone else? Any questions? Anyone else who would like to testify? With that, since the amendment is mine, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Claflin to run that.
Madam Chair. I will move the A2 amendment. Chair Hansen, do you want to explain your amendments?
Madam Chair, the A2 amendment is language that has been around for at least a year in general that provides voluntary
definition to the training program. And just to address the prior testimony, the language on 1.9, 1.12, 1.15 has the commissioner, that would be the Commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency, being required to consult with the University of Minnesota. And the reason for that is to stay nimble with the science as it continues to evolve. I did work with the pesticide applicator training program. It does move slow, but it also is very thorough. And I want to make sure that we're operating in the best interest of the state. So it's not just a sole source contract that there's authority given with not just the commissioner making that decision. So that's the bulk of the amendment. It also provides a reporting requirement. And this, I want to be clear, this is on total amounts. I'm not asking for each application to be recorded, but a reporting for those that are certified so we can actually see if de-icer is being, how it's being used and if it's being reduced. If you look at Representative Fisher's bill, the only time salt is mentioned is in the title. It's not mentioned throughout, so we have a number of de-icers. There may be alternatives. So the reporting requirement is there. And finally, I do sunset the program after 5 years. That would give the ability for a future legislature to evaluate if it's working well and continue it. So I would move the A2 amendment and ask for your support.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in consultation with the University of Minnesota, how much is that going to cost in those three different paragraphs?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Fabian, I don't see a cost with that. When the pesticide applicator program works, there's staff that work and are going to be communicating. It's a meeting, and it's follow-up meetings. There are people who it's their current job that are working on these things. So if this amendment is adopted, there will be a revision to the fiscal note. The bill is going to other sites.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair. So to the author of the bill, I'm curious to know what conversation you had with the author of the amendment before the amendment was posted yesterday at 12:30 p.m. with regards to this. And is this a friendly amendment?
First of all, yes, this is a friendly amendment. We had not talked, I'll say that the chair myself had not gotten into the deep specifics on it, but had gone through is that we wanted to make sure that the university was consulted because the university is our research land grant institution. They're the ones that are keeping up on what's happening on the landscape on a regular basis, and what we want to do is make sure that we kept that information coming into the program on a yearly basis so that they're finding new ways that salting can be done differently. We're getting those implemented as quickly as possible. And so to me, that made a lot of sense to have the consultation with the university occur.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what in your bill, as it's structured before the amendment, prevents consultation with the University of Minnesota?
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian. There was nothing that prevented it, but at the same time, there was nothing to make sure that it did occur. And as we know sometimes that if we don't always provide the guidance when things get tough at the agencies, sometimes they just kind of they just don't have the ability to get to it unless they know it's a priority for us. And for us, we want to make sure it's a priority that when they're given this kind of training that we're staying up on the most current methods, particularly if they're finding new ways or new chemicals that will cause de-icing on the roads and lessen the impact to our environment.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm concerned that, and the testifier talked about slowing the process down, and if this is such an important program to get in place, if the University of Minnesota is going to be at these training sessions or whatever, as you're saying in your testimony, I don't quite understand why we want to give the University of Minnesota so much authority on this. And if someone could tell me specifically who at the University of Minnesota are you talking about? And what research are they currently doing?
Representative Fisher.
I'll respond to the first part. I just want to make clear that the way I'm reading the section here that was provided to us is that the commissioner will consult with the university. The university is not going to be involved in each presentation. They'll consult with the university to find out what are the standards that need to be updated. From there, the other parts of the question might be better off to the author of the amendment.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to the author of the amendment, Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen, who at the U specifically are we talking about and what research are they currently doing?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Fabian. So when it's in consultation with the University of Minnesota, that brings the whole array of research that's involved with the University of Minnesota. So it may be where you would have water quality individuals, you may have the safety zone, you have that whole research facility going on with worker safety. My experience when I worked with the pesticide applicator program is you had you could bring people from a variety of colleges to bring that best research that is applied. When you have a sole source responsibility, you don't have to have that. It's a best management practice. But what the amendment does is it provides, in consultation with the University of Minnesota, that the whole array of the University of Minnesota is available to provide not only input on the training, but also the training and the testing. So on testing, you need to make sure, and I'm sure the testifier would validate, that you have to make sure that the test is an actual determination of minimum competency in order for it to be valid, because it is becoming a regulatory tool. So you have the psychology and the mechanics and the science of testing and of training, in addition to the content that is available from the University of Minnesota.
Representative Fisher.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair, is one of the things, Representative Fabian, very similar is I'm a certified food manager. This is through the state of Minnesota. Same type of program is done that type of way, is where they continually update is what's occurring in the food safety area. And so periodically I have to go through that, go through the trainings. The trainings are modified with input from across the board, and that is kind of a common thing when you're working with something that's impacting the environment or in the food. I feel that it's something very similar to what I'm used to working with. So I think it's a great program just to make sure that we're doing the best things across and that it's being regularly reviewed.
Representative Fabian. Representative Heitzman. Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along the same lines as Representative Fabian's questioning, I'm wondering, to either the bill author or the amendment author, has MPCA testified that they want this or indicated publicly or privately that they want this added onto the bill? Is there anything that the agency might want to weigh in on this?
Representative Fisher?
I have not talked to the agency on this particular amendment. I know that with the bill itself, they're fine. I've not asked them.
Representative Fisher and Madam Chair, Representative Heinzman. So with the advocates during the intro and in meeting with the PCA, I have mentioned three general things. One is to make sure that the training was not just a sole source, that there was consultation. Two, that there would be reporting, and three, that there would be a sunset. The actual details of the language were posted yesterday.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If it would be okay, I would certainly like to hear from MPCA on where they stand on this. It seems like there's a lot of smart people there that could probably connect with MPCA, whether this is required under the language or not. I'm assuming that there would be some communication. Maybe you can clarify that.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Introduce yourself.
Members, so with the amendment, I think the opportunity to work with the university, I think, is a good thing in terms of bringing additional information to bear on the issue, and if there's new information, that's okay. And there's a lot of different ways we can accomplish that in consultation with the U and get to the right people to do that, and hopefully not have any delays in implementing the training and delaying that. In terms of the record-keeping piece, we've looked at that, and as the author to the amendment mentioned, we're going to have to take a look at the fiscal note for the implications of that. The record-keeping, it's kind of variable right now, not knowing the number of folks who are going to get the training and the records that we'd actually receive, but we'll take a look at that and update the fiscal note.
Representative Heisman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that helps. It sounds like there's still a lot of question marks here.
Representative Becker had a question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and more so a comment after a lot of the questions has been asked. I've heard today that it's a good bill, but, you know, when you bring a whole array of other people into the equation, I know what you're trying to do, the author amendment, I get it, but it will slow down the process whenever you bring someone in. That is my concern. It seems like we have a compromise among everybody, and now we're sticking this in that could put a thorn in the side. So I'm concerned about that. So thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just concerned about the fiscal note. This is the Finance Committee. The motion is refresh my memory on the motion, please.
And to the amendment?
On the bill.
To refer to Ways and Means with a recommendation of re-referral to Capital Investments.
Judiciary.
Oh, to Judiciary. Yes.
So, Madam Chair, does it need to come back to this committee then once the fiscal note is established?
Yes, sir.
So, Representative Hansen, excuse me, Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you. Representative Hansen, you said you've been working on this. You said with the advocates. I'm not sure what the difference between an advocate and a stakeholder is. We've heard lots of criticism of stakeholders. Why didn't you do this earlier so that we could speed the process up? I mean, I'm looking at what we have to go through here today and tonight, and we've got two committees meeting at basically the same time. I think that the people in the room, not the high-paid ones, but folks deserve a little more clarity in the schedules and getting things done in a more timely manner. So my question is why didn't you bring this amendment forward sooner?
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Fabian, you know, I actually had this amendment drafted last year, and the author of the bill refused to even consider it, couldn't get a hearing. I think if you remember, we were sent to go work on it, and the answer was, you can't even consider this. So during the interim, after the election, I met with the Stop Oversalting Group, and I mentioned that my concerns, that I had the amendment before, and I was going to talk about, I was concerned about sole sourcing on training, and that we should have the rigor of science involved with it, and that reporting and sunsetting were important. And I believe that. And that's why I have the amendment.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last question. So where is the sunset in the amendment? Okay, I see 26. Yep, thank you. I got it.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just wanted to make the point after all the comments, you know, what we're doing right now is slowing down a process, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes that's a good thing to take a pause and consult with other people to get feedback to make something better. So just in favor of the amendment and the language about consulting with the U of M.
Are there any other questions from the members or from the public? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the bill itself and to the author, I appreciate your taking on this salt issue. It's huge. As we talk to our constituents about this, I don't want them to think that the problem is solved.
Correct.
So how do I talk to them? What do you have an estimate of the percentage of the problem solved by this bill?
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius, first of all, I apologize. I don't recall the numbers right offhand. And also they vary across the state. In some areas of the state, we have more problems with the salt coming in from water softeners. And I do know that there is some stuff floating around right now about how to address that issue. That is where one large chunk comes in. I do know that throughout the state, depending where you are, it varies as how much is applied by how much of the salt is coming from these icers that is being done from governmental units. You heard a little bit earlier about the percentages that it can be from privates, and that fluctuates across the state. I've heard some numbers earlier, but I don't want to toss them out because I could be off by quite a bit on it. But this is just one part of the problem. We still have a large amount left to go to address salting throughout the rest of the state and throughout the metropolitan area. And I'll pivot back to water softeners. Many communities right now already soften their water. I'm thinking Minneapolis and St. Paul soften their water, but many of the people who are private homes and businesses put water softeners on top of that. So you've got additional salt going in on water softening happening on top of already salt soft water. That's a big part of the problem. That happens in other communities. So I don't want to go too much further into the others, but just kind of giving, yes, this is only one part of it. We've got to come back and take a look at some of these other bigger ones as we go forward.
Any other questions for Representative Fisher? Any other questions? Representative Fisher renews his motion that House File 1502, as amended, be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Division. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. We will go with Representative DeMuth's bills on the calendar, and then I don't know if Representative Backer is here.
I am here.
Okay. And then I know Representative Considine, I think, is here.
Here.
So. Representative Namath, I apologize for misspelling Namath, not like Namath, correct?
That's correct, Chair.
Welcome to the committee, I will move House File 95 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. Representative Namath.
Thank you, Chair Hansen, and committee members for hearing House File 95. Chair, with your permission, my understanding is that there is tradition freshmen when presenting first time in a committee can bring treats. That has been done. With your permission, those will be handed out.
Thank you.
Thank you. House File 95 seeks to appropriate $300,000 to pre-design, design, construct, and equip a parking lot, canoe access, and restroom facilities for East Park, which is located on the Sauk River in the city of St. Joseph. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I have a testifier, City Administrator Judy Guerin's with, and I would like to turn it over to her for more detail.
Administrator.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity. For those that don't know, St. Joseph is located 8 miles west of St. Cloud. We are a community of 7,000. In 2004, we were lucky enough to work with a developer who was going to put a large housing development in, and the Sauk River was on the end of it. We convinced the developer to give to the city the 92 acres to be used for a future park. Due to the downturn in the economy, the development never happened, but we were able to secure the property 2 years ago. Since that time, we went through a planning process to see what would the community want in this park. We did surveys, community engagement, and the overwhelming response was we want to keep it natural. We want to preserve the treasure that we have. It is a massive project for St. Joseph. It's about 2.5 to 3 million for the total project. We started phase one this year with the metal reforestation. The people like the canoeing on the river. They park off the side of the road right now, creating a little bit of a hazard. So we'd like to start phase one and do the canoe access, some trails, the bathrooms, and we're seeking your help in this project. It is a beautiful park, and we want to keep it in this natural, as much in the natural phase as we can. Thank you.
Any questions for the testifier? Any questions from the testifier? Is there anyone from the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Anyone from the audience? Representative Damuth, any closing remarks?
Again, Chair, thank you and committee for hearing this. I know that you received the handout that was given. It's a beautiful area in District 13A, and I would invite you at any point in time as it moves forward to take a look at it. Thank you.
My cookies just have appeared. I will renew my motion that House File 95 be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The motion prevails. Representative Dana, Ricori Trail, House File 1322. I will move House File 1322 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. Representative Damon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Thank you for hearing House File 1322. This bill seeks $1,130,000 to construct the completion of the Ricori Trail from Cold Spring to Rockville. This is within the Ricori School District. And it links our three cities, which are Rockville, Cold Spring, and Richmond. A little side note, those are the acronyms that make up the Ricori School District, if you weren't aware of that. This is a trail that, upon its completion, the completed points at this part are used all year around. It allows us access into our city, into different neighborhoods. It is a beautiful trail running mostly along Highway 23. Kids use it, older adults use it, summer, winter, no matter what. A little side note, when I chose to, for the very first time, train for my one and only 5K, I used the Ricori Trail, and it served me well. With your permission, Chair, I would like to turn it over to my testifier, Mr. Kevin Mooney.
Good afternoon,
Mr. Mooney.
Chair and committee. We formed our three communities of Richmond, Cold Spring, and Rockville formed a joint powers group in 2004 to complete this idea of connecting our three communities together with a multi-purpose trail. If you've driven down Highway 23, which goes from St. Cloud to Wilmer, you've noticed it's a very busy area. There was a dead railroad sitting right next to that highway. So we decided we could connect our communities together with a transportation and recreational trail that would benefit all three of our cities. At this particular time, we have two of our three cities connected. Richmond is connected to Cold Spring. We have constructed some trail in Rockville, and now we're searching to finish the final 2.2 miles, which would then connect us. It's a very safe trail. It gets people away from the opportunity to use that busy highway and to come off and do that. Up to this date, we have raised over $4 million in the construction of our trails. We are sitting with phase one right now as we have purchased the corridor that is bought. The design of the trail is complete. Any money that we receive at this point would go to construction of the trail, and that's it. Phase three already has $812,000 of matching federal TAP money that we have in place and is ready to be spent in 2020 or 21. In 2021, so we are very close to completing this vision that was created 15 years ago, and it'd be great if we could get your assistance in finishing it. Thank you.
Any other testifiers or David?
I do have Mr. Scott Headland here for any additional questions if the committee.
Any questions from the committee? Is there anyone from the audience who would like to testify? Anyone from the audience? Any closing remarks, Representative?
Again, thank you for Mr. Chair and committee. Thank you for hearing this bill. We look forward to a decision on it. Thank you.
I will renew my motion that House File 1322 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion prevails. I'm going to go to Representative Backer because I said I would, and I know he's got folks that are here, and then we will revert back to the order. Representative Backer.
Yes.
You'd like to move your motion?
Yes, Chair, I'd like to move the bill. And what it deals with, it does with flood mitigation up and down the Red River Valley. Unfortunately, this year, we probably will see some excess water with all the snow. But with that there, I'm going to turn it over to Jamie Beyer, and she will give you more details. And there is a handout being passed out by the pages. So thank you.
Representative Backer moves that House File 1158 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Ms. Beyer.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, committee members. My name is Jamie Beyer. I'm the administrator of the Bois de Sioux Watershed District, and I work as part of a team implementing water quantity and water quality projects in six counties: Big Stone, Grant, Otter Tail, Stevens, Travers, and Wilkin. I'm here today in support of Representative Backer's bill to provide funding for the Red Path Impoundment Project. This project is located in Travers and Grant counties and would serve as an off-channel floodwater impoundment for the Mustinker River. The Red Path project has already undergone 10 years of planning, thought, and negotiation with representatives from townships, counties, soil and water, DNR, DOT, MDA, Bowser, NRCS, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Ducks Unlimited, and the Red River Watershed Management Board. There are a number of problems we're trying to solve with this project. The Red Path region suffers from repetitive and seasonal flooding and intermittent heavy precipitation. We experience road washouts and damages to public infrastructure, such as bridges and culverts. We see soil erosion and siltation, and with it, nutrient losses. There are agricultural damages as well, and delayed planting or no planting at all. With construction of this Red Path Impoundment Project, we'll see these problems alleviated, along with other benefits, such as augmenting stream flows when, during the summer, our channels start to dry up. The Red Path Impoundment Project is not a stranger to St. Paul. In August of 15, the legislature charged the DNR, Department of Ag, MPC, and Bowser to identify and develop large-scale projects that provide floodwater retention. And the Red Path was on that list of projects and has been awarded a $2 million Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council grant. On page one, you'll find the cost summary, which details the committed funding to date. A third of the cost has already been paid out, and the committed funds have come from the Flood Damage Reduction Work Group, the Flood Damage Reduction Program, Lessard Sams, and then locally we have used funding from the Red Board, which is the levy against our tax district, and then our own tax district. So that's totaled $7.1 million. So a third of the costs have been paid. Right now, we'd like to move this project closer to construction and into construction if we could. So we've garnered the public support. We've acquired nearly all of the land, and the land has been the biggest expense so far. So we have just 200 acres left to acquire. The EAW is complete. We have a record of decision from the DNR. The wetland mitigation plan is complete. The project meets the requirements of the 404 permit. We have some additional work on the Minnesota Public Waters and 408 permit, but it is possible that we could bid the first phase of construction in 10 months. Through our recent experience operating the North Ottawa flood impoundment, we have an idea of what projects like Red Path can do for water quality. A 2017 U of M study found that in North Ottawa, total phosphorus reductions ranged from 27% to 66%. Total nitrogen reductions ranged from 51% to 73%, and total sediment reductions ranged from 37% to 57%. It is more difficult to quantify the benefit of augmenting streams, but that benefit would be realized too. We need your help funding the Red Path Impoundment Project in order to bring the multiple benefits of this project off the paper and into reality. Thank you.
Any questions for Representative Backer or the testifier? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Backer, any closing remarks?
Appreciate your support. Thanks, Chair, and committee members.
Representative Backer renews his motion that House File 1158 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is approved. Representative Lean. Representative Lean, welcome to the committee. I will move that House File 1828 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, I appreciate you hearing this bill today, House File 1828, and this bill would appropriate $39 million from state general obligation bond sales to the City of Moorhead for flood mitigation work. These dollars would also be counted as part of Minnesota's share for the proposed Red River Diversion Project, as the work that would be done with this money is consistent and compatible with the diversion project. I do bring up the diversion language because it is, of course, in the bill. However, the work that would be done in Moorhead with this money is needed regardless of the diversion project. And this work would continue the home buyouts and levee system construction that began after the record 2009 Red River flood. The home buyouts done by the city have all been voluntary, and as people who did not take the initial voluntary buyout offers move or become ready to sell their homes, the city needs to go back in and acquire these homes to shore up the citywide levee system where gaps currently exist. To date, 263 voluntary buyouts have taken place in the city, and 12.1 miles of levees have been built in Moorhead. These dollars would also go toward a levee that was constructed by homeowners in a recently annexed neighborhood that is not currently up to FEMA standards. This homeowner-constructed levee was built before the annexation, and the city is now ready to go in and shore up the project to be sure it meets FEMA standards. Mr. Chair, committee members, with that, I will stand for questions or turn it over to Scott Hutchins, who works on behalf of the City of Moorhead.
Mr. Hutchins.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. I just, Representative Backer mentioned the possibility of flooding in the valley this year, and I have some information that's been provided by our Public Works Director, who indicates that, indeed, the City of Moorhead, and I suspect other communities in the valley, are in full flood preparation mode at this particular time. On March 7th, before this most recent event of another foot of heavy wet snow in various areas throughout the valley, the projected 2019 crest was anywhere from 35 to 37 feet. That brings a 25% chance of a major flooding event in Moorhead this spring. So in any event, that is why we're in preparation mode. A late spring is problematic with the likelihood of a quicker melt and potential for precipitation. So these improvements are much appreciated. The past appropriations and these improvements will complete the project for providing permanent flood relief and mitigation in Moorhead. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Any questions from the committee? Is there anyone from the audience like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Lean, do you have any final comments?
Mr. Chair, committee members, I appreciate your time and attention on this bill today. Thank you.
I will renew my motion that House File 1828 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Marquardt. Welcome, Representative Marquardt. I will move that House File 383 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment.
So thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And this is downstream from Moorhead, and it is on the Red River. But what we have here is a bill that would provide $1.25 million in bond proceeds to the cities of Hurley and Hendrum for road raises. So right now the levees have been built in these cities, and this year MnDOT is going through on Highway 75 to do some work. And so at the same time they would do road raises, you know, where the road is right now to match up with the levee. So it would be saving costs and also being able to really complete those projects. So that's what this bill would do and provide funding for those road raises. And anyway, that's what that would do.
Any questions from the committee? I'll go with Representative Green
first. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt, we just heard the bill for the flood mitigation in the Fargo-Moorhead area. If that goes through, does that make your bill that much more important to get done?
Representative Marquardt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Green, that wouldn't, you know, because Moorhead is getting near its completion, so that really wouldn't have an impact there. But as Mr. Hutchins mentioned, you know, the flood, the chances of major flooding has increased now. Is this? But I don't see where that would have any bearing on that. I mean, the sooner the better, of course, Representative Green, but that particular point wouldn't have a...
Well, Mr. Chair, thanks. The reason that I ask is because there's, you know as well as I do, there's been a lot of contention over the bypass around Fargo-Moorhead and what it's going to do to our communities downstream. And I do know that they, I do know that they've done a lot of work already, and I understand what you're doing here. And I was just wondering if I should have asked, I suppose, Representative Lean, if that, if his bill was going to finish that project, or if it's a completely different project and he's just shoring up the communities.
Mr. Chair and Representative Green, I know the Moorhead project is finishing up what Moorhead needs to do. And the way it sounds is that if the diversion would go through, and right now the DNR has granted a permit now after several years with 54 conditions that need to be met before everything's done, that the diversion authority... but so it sounds like those dollars being spent here could be used for a Minnesota share of the diversion. They're going to be looking for, if that occurs, a Minnesota share. But the fact is that regardless of the diversion, that project in Moorhead would be needed to finish up what Moorhead needs to do for permanent and wouldn't have an impact downstream. Okay. That part would not.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two comments real quickly. Representative Marquardt, I heard you say that the dikes in Purley and Hendrum and so forth are going around, going through the city. They're going around the city. I was looking at the map, just a point of clarification. But that, folks, you also need to know that now there's a new blizzard warning out for the Red River Valley Wednesday and Thursday.
So you bring some Representative Marquardt shakes his head.
Mr. Chair, nothing to add to that cheery news.
Is there anyone from the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? Representative Marquardt, any closing remarks?
No, Mr. Chair, members, just thank you for hearing the bill.
I will renew my motion that House File 383 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion approved. Representative Marquardt.
Yes. Thank
House
you.
File 1600. I will move that House File 1600 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And House File 1600 actually now is upstream of what we heard in the Moorhead project, just on the other direction. It's this would ask for $4.8 million of bond proceeds for a project located in southeast Clay County called the Stony Creek Water Resource Management Project. And the Stony Creek actually heads into the south branch of the Buffalo River, which ultimately goes into the Red River. So it's part of that. And the biggest part of this project would be about 7,000 acre feet of impoundment. that would, at peak levels, reduce flow at peak levels on Stony Creek by about 80%. And heading into the south branch of the Buffalo River, would decrease peak flow by about 5%. So every little bit of impoundment really helps. And so with me here is the administrator from the Buffalo Red River Watershed District, Bruce Albright, and also a member of the board there, Gerald Van Amberg. So they can, if I could turn that over at this time, Mr. Chair, that would be great.
Welcome, Mr. Albright, if you could state your name for the record.
Yes.
Bruce Albright, administrator, Buffalo Red River Watershed District. Committee Chair Hansen and members, thank you for taking some time to hear about our project. We drove up this morning. We just had a meeting last night in our watershed office with over 100 citizens in attendance to talk about the diversion, so it is a hot topic. This type of project deals with water management. It has both flood damage reduction and natural resource components. I believe we've looked elsewhere for the natural resource component part of it. We've worked with Lassard Sams. We hope to use the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. Having been with the district for close to 40 years, I would like to say I think the end is nearing in sight here. We need a few more of these types of projects. I know a lot of money has went from the state of Minnesota into the Red River Basin. We talked already this morning or this afternoon about the potential for yet another flood. 35 to 37 feet now. I was involved in 1997 when 400 homes in Oakport were lost with about 38 feet. So now it's closed a couple of gates thanks to the help of the state of Minnesota, and that area is protected. So the end is getting in sight. We need these types of regional projects. This does come with the support. We're looking at about $1.65 million of money from the FM Diversion Authority. This would be sales tax money out of the city of Fargo. They feel these types of projects do provide benefits for them on the Red River. And we would ask for your support. The handout that was in with your materials, I think, goes into the details. And in recognition of time, I won't go through all that. But we would hope that you would consider our bill for future funding.
Any questions for Mr. Albright? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Albright, can you tell us how many ponds that, because this is like a pond, I assume, for holding the water and then drawing down. How many are there now around, let's say, within 500 miles of the Fargo-Moorhead area?
Mr. Albright.
I'll start with in Buffalo Red, which covers 1,800 square miles, and you represent part of our district, Clay Becker, Wilkin, and Ottertail. We have probably we have about eight of these different types of impoundments. Basin-wide, we're probably nearing 50 of these type of regional projects. This would be similar to the Red Path project, as talked about earlier, with the Boise Sioux Watershed District. These don't need to go everywhere. They're strategically placed where they provide the most benefit. In our case, we have willing landowners. We would work with those landowners via easement, so they would retain the land. This would be off-channel, and they will continue to farm the area with inside the impoundment. So it'll just be used when needed to store flood waters on farmland. And they support that.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Albright? Representative Marquardt, do you have another testifier?
Yes.
Only to say that, you know, in our region, this is an important
name for the record.
State your name for the committee.
Oh, excuse me. Gerald Van Amberg, I'm a manager on the Watershed District, and Mr. Chairman and committee members, thank you for hearing this. It is an important project to our area. I think the only thing I can add is that we have willing landowners, is ready to go in that respect, and what we need now is the money to do it, and so this is one cog in the wheel.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just Dr. Van Amberg, thank you for being here. For those of folks of you that don't know, that Dr. Van Amberg used to be a professor at Concordia College in Moorhead, and I got to know him pretty well while I was there.
Mr. Amberg.
That's when Mr. Fabian was, Representative Fabian was young. Still looks pretty good, though.
But he's old, though.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? Representative Marquardt, any closing remarks?
You know, final closing remarks. You know, 1997, there was a major flood that flooded Breckenridge that Representative Backer now represents. Fargo-Moorhead was able to fight it off, but just barely. It flooded Ada, East Grand Forks, Grand Forks, and up and down the valley. And since then, hundreds of millions of dollars have come from the state of Minnesota to help shore up those communities. And just speaking on behalf of the Red River area, thank you to the state of Minnesota for those investments, because 35 to 37 foot flood would have been really major, major even that. And now it's manageable. You know, we don't need it to go, but just everything that has happened has made things a lot more manageable. So thank you, members, and thank you, Chair, Mr. Chair.
I will renew my motion that House File 1600 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. The motion prevails. Thank you. Representative Considine. I will move that House File 1593 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Representative Considine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like a lot of cities on the rivers, the stormwater that they deal with comes from a great deal from outside the city limits. This demonstration project that Mankato has put together will hopefully be a model for around the state that will be easily replicated and work for with non-source point sources. And with that, I'll turn it over to my testifier, City Manager Pat Hinches.
Manager Hinches.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Pat Hinches. I'm the City Manager of Mankato. Essentially, what we have put together is an appropriation request for bonding for $6,875,000 as a match to a total project of $13,750,000. This project basically establishes a storm water treatment system outside the corporate limits, would be a facility eventually owned and operated by the city. The purpose of this facility is really threefold. Number one is to manage the flow coming through the watershed into the city's municipal stormwater system. The second component of this is to reduce erosion along the route of this that essentially comes into a city facility, then eventually goes into a ravine system, comes back into a city stormwater diversion system, and eventually into the Minnesota River Basin via the LeSueur River. The real crux of this, however, is to reduce nitrates and nutrients, essentially, that are coming into the city's system. That system, at which we believe utilizing best management practices, bioreactors, a series of erosion, wetland establishments, cover crops, will eventually remove essentially what is equivalent to a small municipal discharge allocation, waste load allocation of phosphorus. For example, in this particular case, we look like we're going to reduce in the back page with 388 kilograms per year. That is related to, for example, Starbuck as a wastewater, New Richland as a wastewater allocation for their phosphorus under the res, river unification standards. We believe that this can be a demonstration project. This facility eventually perhaps could be an alternative for those cities meeting their standards. Say, for example, 50%, they would get 50% credit for that. So we think this. We're very passionate about this project. It has a lot of value. But not just value in terms of stormwater value, but again, water quality value in the Minnesota River Basin. I would just point out that we believe that these types of demonstration projects are an alternative that certainly cities could use, NBS permit holders could use as an alternative to mechanical plant investment. And, you know, just generally speaking, for example, this project, we believe, at least if we equate it to our plant, it's almost a $1 for every $3 that we'd have to invest in a mechanical plant as a reduction. So from that standpoint, we ask for your support and consideration. We've been working on this project for a number of years. We believe we are at a point where we need to move forward. It's a significant investment, certainly for the state. We understand that, but it's also a significant investment from our city's standpoint to assure better water quality in our basin and certainly manage the rural runoff that comes from not only agricultural land, but it comes from city county road systems that drain into this area. It comes from non-farm development, all of those things that basically the city really can't control. We just accept the water and how to best manage it, and this is an alternative to that.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Testifier, I was trying to find it. If I'm missing it, I apologize, but do you have a breakdown of how much is from ag land and how much is from forest land? I see that one of your pictures of erosion looks like it's coming from a pretty forested area. And
basically, this watershed district, Mr. Chair, Representative, this watershed district is essentially all open ag land with some rural farm non-development. That picture, I believe, is an example that we've taken from another part of our community.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Representative Green. Any other questions? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hinches, I'm curious. I think you testified on House File 1509, which was the site-specific eutrophication standards in the Minnesota River. How does this project play in with that bill, Representative Brand's bill?
Representative Fabian, this really is what we think to be one of the end results, that essentially the planning process that we see in the second part of 1509 that puts together a stakeholder group, we believe that there is a lot of, I'll call it low-hanging fruit in the Minnesota River Basin that we can use similar to this as projects can move forward and really move the bar in water quality and specifically nutrient loading in the river. So I think this, can be a process where cities can utilize these types of non-price sources to meet their waste load allocation, but we also believe that there are plenty of other opportunities the stakeholder group could apply and allow those smaller cities to do the same. I would point out in the first part of this bill, and this is a long answer, but we already are leaders essentially in the Minnesota River Basin using our mechanical plant, trading with those smaller cities and agricultural producers that have permits to be able to meet their waste load allocation. Now, this is just another tool in the toolbox.
President Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I know the city of Thief River Falls is interested in something like this as well. In this specific bill, though, in 1593, you're asking for $6.9 million. What do you have for a local match in this? And if you said that, I apologize, I missed it.
The local match would be a combination of funds, but primarily our local option sales tax, which we received voter approval and legislative approval approximately 3 years ago. And that would be a portion of our match along with our normal stormwater rate structure. I would also point out, and we've allocated, depending if we decide to use this allocation in some fashion with the MPCA in terms of a credit, we would likely also use our stormwater, or excuse me, our wastewater fees also.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hanson, and more specifically, I appreciate where the money would come from, but specifically, how much money would you have in this project? You know, like I said, you're asking for
$6,875,000.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think you're, if I'm miscommunicating, I apologize. Your local match, you're asking for 6.8 from the state of Minnesota. How much is the city of Mankato going to put into this project?
Mr. Chair, an additional $6,875,000 for a dollar, dollar for dollar, 50%.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? I will renew any, Representative Considine, any closing remarks?
Only that I think it's a great demonstration project that can be replicated in Thief River Falls and other places. I think it's a wise use of the money.
I will renew my motion that House File 1593 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Considine.
Thank you.
Representative Nornes, and then after Nornes will be Lilly. Representative Nornes, I move that House File 849 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Hansen, and the members. House File 849 is a little different than what we've been talking about. So we're talking about trails now. This is a regional trail in Otter Tail County. And this trail would have kind of as its, I guess I'd call it the focus, Maplewood State Park. And it goes through the hills and the valleys and the lakes of Otter Tail County. So it's a, you can envision what this trail might be like. I have three testifiers here today. And the first one will be Commissioner Doug Hicks. And
Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Doug Hipsch. I'm chair of the Otter Tail County Board. Today I got to miss a meeting to come to this, so it was pretty exciting. But anyways, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share information about the Permit to Pelican Rapids Regional Trail. The Permit to Pelican Rapids Trail began in 2013 as a collaborative effort between the City of Perm, City of Pelican Rapids, Otter Tail County, West Central Initiative, Partnership for Health, and the DNR. Our group spent over 14 months developing a master plan, which included considered public engagement and outreach. The trail would be a wonderful enhancement for the 8,000-plus acre Maplewood State Park, providing non-motorized connections to Perm and Pelican Rapids. The trail is also a critical next step for connecting to the Central Lakes Trail to the north, or to the south, and the Heartland Trail to the north. There's considerable local support for the project, including significant financial commitment by the county for construction and future maintenance. Now I'd like to turn it over to Rick West, our Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mr. West.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Rick West. I am the Public Works Director for Otter Tail County. I believe there should be a handout of our trail. There's a map on that, Mr. Chair, committee members. And just a brief overview of the overall project. The overall project is a trail approximately 27 miles in length. It's labeled east Silent Lake portion, McDonald Lake portion, and west portion. Just for the committee's information, the east portion, which begins at the city of Perm and runs westward approximately 6.5 miles, that project will be underway in 2019, will be completed in 2020. All the funding's in place. Represents a total cost of $1.6 million, our local share is $1.1 million. So that portion of this trail is in motion and will be in motion and completed by 2020. The west portion from Pelican Rapids to Maplewood, we've recently applied for an LCCMR grant for that portion, which is 6.8 miles. The House File 849 represents the two middle portions, Silent Lakes and McDonald. We are requesting $4.768 million in bond funds. Our local share of this project, the middle two portions, Silent and McDonald, will be about 35% of that of the total project. We have been in consultation with the DNR representing, of course, Maplewood State Park, a beautiful park in our county, and have had meetings with their local staff, their area staff, and also the DNR commissioner referenced the trail work within the park. This the work that we are doing represents trail work outside of Maplewood State Park. It's a large undertaking for Lauderdale County. We are ready for it. We've been working on it for a good number of years now. Our county board is very supportive of it and has recently given us the green light to begin the detailed engineering work required on the portions of the trail that we are requesting funding. Ultimately, this trail will provide a connection between the Central Lakes Trail near Fergus Falls, runs from Fergus Falls to Osakis, and the Heartland Trail to the north. With that, Mr. Chair, committee members, I'll conclude and stand for questions if there are any.
Any questions? Professor Nornis, do you have another testifier?
I'm not sure if we have one more person that traveled from Lauderdale County.
Representative McKinney has a question.
Just quickly, do you have an actual plan to hitch up with Central Lake?
We are working. The connection to the Central Lakes Trail will be via what is called the Glacial Edge Trail, which the City of Fergus Falls and Lauderdale County are working on. The permanent Pelican Rapids Trail is our number one priority at this point. After we've completed this, we will begin work on that connection, again known as the Glacial Edge Trail.
Representative McGinnis.
Yes. Can you just tell us about what you see as the route for that?
Mr. Chair, committee members, the route at this point is preliminary, but we would envision it will run along our county state highway number one, our county state highway number three, and from that point move north to connect with this trail somewhere near Maplewood State Park or the south boundary of the park. It's preliminary at this point.
Representative Nornis.
We have one other testifier, Mr. Chair, I believe, would add a little to this, Nick Leonard.
Thank you, committee chair, committee members.
Mr. Leonard.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Nick Leonard. I'm the Economic Development Director for Lauderdale County. So my job is to tell you why this is such a great economic asset for not only Lauderdale County, but for the region and for the state. I suspect at this point you've had trails in front of you, you've seen research related to the benefits, both health and economic development benefits associated with trails, so I won't spend time going into some of that research. But what I would like to share is we do anticipate this being a significant economic asset for our region and an asset for Maplewood State Park. Maplewood State Park, believe it or not, is 8,000 plus acres. A lot of people don't know it's the seventh largest state park in the state park system. And so really this is a great opportunity to really enhance an existing state resource. However, so we're excited about that. I'll also be honest. The other thing that we really are looking at is this isn't just an asset for attracting visitors. This is an asset for attracting residents. We, like much of greater Minnesota, have a real workforce challenge. We have a robust economy. We could create hundreds of jobs tomorrow if we had the workforce. And so so some of you are familiar. We work very closely with Ben Winchester and the University of Minnesota to figure out how do we get people to move to greater Minnesota. And some of you are familiar with some of Dr. Winchester's recent research that looked at what are the top reasons people move to greater Minnesota. I was surprised to learn that a job isn't in the top 10. Parks, trails, outdoor recreation is in the top 5. So when we look at this, this isn't just in a short-term investment in how to improve the economy. This is a long-term investment in how do we give people that want to move to greater Minnesota the things that they want. And so we are committed to it. We're willing to invest in it because we know that we need to if we want to continue to be a robust and growing part of the state. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Leonard? Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? Representative Nornes, any closing remarks?
I appreciate giving us the time to present this idea for a trail. It's an opportunity that the whole state can benefit. But I should put in a plug that besides hikes and trails, we also have fish. You know, we've got 1,040 lakes up there, and there's a lot of fish there. So this is just one more piece that makes Otter Tail County a good place to live. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we have 1,048 lakes. The representative was trying to short us by 8 lakes.
They must have found another one.
Found another one.
Sorry about that.
I will renew my motion that House File 849 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. Representative Lilly. I will move House File 1481 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Those of us that represent parts of Maplewood, like Representative Fisher and I, want to say we like Maplewood Park, even though it's not in our district. Mr. Chair and members, thank you for hearing this bill today. We had a great visit when we were before the Capital Investment Committee, but we're happy to have a nice stop here. But this is a wonderful story to be told of an effort that's being put forth in the East Metro. Right now, there's currently not opportunity to get on and do cross-country skiing in the East Metro. Many of the folks in need to go way over to Minneapolis and not way over, but it actually is. And, you know, with all the traffic and the situation that we've seen this winter, it's very hard. And with snow being so unpredictable, we really have not had snow. I didn't realize till, you know, really quite recent, and the ski season was actually over by the time we received all the snow that we're dealing with now as we scrape our roofs off and our yards and all that. But so with me today I have some folks, and with your permission I'd like to introduce Ramsey County Commissioner Victoria Reinhart, just to kind of tell briefly about the effort that we're putting forth here, sir, and members.
Commissioner Reinhart.
Thank you. I am Victoria Reinhart. I'm on the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners, and I have a staff person, the director of Ramsey County Parks and Recreation, Mark McCabe, here as well, and he'll go over some of the details of what the request is and some of the other highlights of what we're trying to do here. But really, my role here is to talk about why are we doing this. And I think it's important to note that Ramsey County's vision is a vibrant community where all are valued and thrive. And having ample and reliable opportunities for outdoor recreation at the Battle Creek Regional Park gets us closer to realizing that vision. Our overall goal in Ramsey County is prosperity, opportunity, well-being, and accountability. And well-being obviously comes under this category. I want you to know also that when we go over the total request here, that Ramsey County is very supportive of this and has allocated $1 million for this project. We also have an active and passionate group of supporters, as I'm turning to my left here, for this project that includes cross-country skiers, winter recreation business owners, cross-country ski coaches, nonprofit organizations that advocate for healthy lifestyles and conduct winter programs. And even, and I think this is probably one of the things that impressed me the most as we've been going through this process, is the vibrancy, really, of the West Metro ski areas wanting this facility, primarily to relieve pressure on from their facilities, but also to expand the sport. And because that's where everybody has to go now, and there, quite frankly, isn't enough, even in the West Metro, and this would be the only East Metro facility of its kind. So obviously there is a major shortage of dependable facilities in the East Metro. You know, talking about snow right now seems kind of redundant, but There is a major the February has seen the largest snowfalls this year, but keep in mind that we had no activity in November, December, or January. And even this year has been a loss early on for the ski teams and participants in the sport because, quite frankly, we need reliable snow, and I think that's pretty obvious. It needs to be groomed. We need to make sure that we've got the reliable snow. So I'd like to thank you for your consideration on the regionally significant impact of this project, and we look forward to working with you to ensure equal access to quality ski trails in the East Metro. Now, I'm not sure if we want to turn it over to Mark or if we want to turn it over to...
Representative Lilly, if we could go quickly with Mr. McCabe and Ms. Snyder to get them on the record, and then
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we'll go to Mr. McCabe. And we had, as you all know, we had, you know, in our last hearing, we had played a video of Jesse Diggins and her great effort in winning, and so we had that tape, and you could probably find that on the internet and relive some of those great Minnesota and great U.S. victory. But we have Mr. McCabe, but I really want you to hear. Try to be really brief.
Mr. McCabe.
A few seconds.
Okay.
Mark McCabe, the director of Ramsey County Parks and Recreation. Battle Creek Regional Park, located in St. Paul, has a very rich history of hosting North American Cup events, National Masters events, but we're unable to do that now because they require that reliable snow is made. Have to cancel many of our cross-country ski meets as well. As far as the specific request goes and our ability to have reliable snow, as we said, we would be able to introduce thousands of people to the sport, be a launching off point for people to go north to greater Minnesota. That economic impact of hosting those events locally as well as growing the sport outstate, or in northern greater Minnesota, I should say. But our request to give you that is we are requesting $3.1 million from the state. And as Commissioner Reinhart mentioned, the county is matching $1 million in funding. And we are looking to raise an additional up to $1 million from our local constituent base. This is to build the infrastructure by the cooling towers, water lines, power, all that infrastructure to make snow. Thank you for your time. We'll turn it over to
thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you, Mr. McCabe. I want you to hear from Ms. Snyder. And then before you get to her, if you could just kind of take a peek out in the crowd and some of the coaches we have out there, and if you could raise your hands. And there was a lot more at the other hearing, and you know the daytime's kind of a little trickier, but I want you to hear real quickly from one of the coaches and one of the leaders in this area.
Ms. Snyder.
Thank you for hearing us today. I actually did not grow up cross-country skiing, but as an adult and a mother of four kids, I was looking for some way to get my kids outside and, frankly, exhausted in the winter. So in 2010, I signed my kids up for the Minnesota Youth Ski League at Battle Creek. We were really lucky that winter. That was the year that we got a huge dumping of snow in the middle of December, and the snow stayed the whole entire time. So every single week, I was able to bring my four kids to Battle Creek. We all learned how to ski with the Minnesota Youth Ski League, and it was glorious. We got out in the woods, and they were tired. And nothing says awesome to a mother of four young kids than early bedtimes. This kind of turned the whole way that my family operated. We turned into outdoor enthusiasts. We turned into runners. We turned into bikers, and we turned into people that explored all over the state of Minnesota. The next year, we weren't so lucky. Temperatures were warm, and it didn't snow. But at that time, there was a tubing hill in Lake Elmo, and they kind of spread some snow out for us. And so we made the trek to Lake Elmo, and we skied in slush that year. That would have been our first year of skiing. We probably would not have taken up the lifestyle, so we were really lucky. 2 years ago, I switched my career from being a preschool teacher to working for the Minnesota Youth Ski League. While I was a teacher, I noticed that kids needed to get outside more, especially in the winter. Being outside helped all aspects of their life, from academics to social and emotional health to physical health. I also believe that the best way to get kids to protect our natural resources in the future is to get them outside right now. In the past year, MYSL registrations has grown by 25%. Over 2,500 kids throughout the state ski each week with their local MYSL club. Minnesota families are looking for opportunities to get their kids off screens and learn a healthy and lifelong sport at a minimal cost, and cross-country skiing is the perfect fit. Now, I can also tell you about high school. We've done that a little bit, that most high school kids, their season ended at the end of January, and they didn't actually get to ski this year. That's a huge detriment to our sport. I can also tell you about Battle Creek is the base for all of the East Metro, and we are the people that get people up north to the events at Grand Rapids and Fergus Falls to Maple Log Resort to Duluth. But I'd like to close by telling you about a family that I was their preschool teacher. They were new immigrants from Ethiopia. And on the second winter here, the first winter, they had no idea what was coming. And the second winter that I was their daughter's teacher, the mother looked at me and said, it was around November, I'm scared. I don't like the winter. She just didn't want to do it. And I said, you've got to learn how to ski. And so I got them in at Battle Creek, and I got them all three of their girls' skis. And that family, it was lucky. It was last year. They got there every single week because we had snow every week. And the girls would have huge smiles on their faces. And every week I would have to convince the mother, it's going to be okay. They're going to be okay, because this was foreign to them, even letting the girls outside in the winter. This year we weren't so lucky. We had 153 families signed up for Battle Creek. For the whole month of January, we had to travel to Bloomington. Less than half of the families made it, because for most of them, it's a 45-minute to sometimes one-hour drive.
We have to go.
Oh, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for hearing this.
Representative Lilly, any closing remarks?
No, thank you. Thank you for hearing it, and we can meet with individual members if they have questions. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
I will renew my motion that House File 1481 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is approved. We are in recess until 6 p.m. The Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division will reconvene. Before we start with Representative Lilly, we had some procedural motions that were left over from our earlier part of the meeting today. So Representative Fisher is here. Representative Fisher, would you move the adoption of the Water Division report on House File 408? This is the Poppy Bill on the Cedar River Watershed District that went to your division.
Yes, I'd like to move that, please.
Before you're moving adoption of the Water Division report, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill? All those in favor of adoption of the Water Division report, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Report is adopted. I will move that House File 408 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Is there any discussion? Is there anyone in the audience would like to testify on House File 408, Poppy, Cedar River Watershed District? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. The motion is adopted. Representative Fisher, will you move the adoption of the Water Division report on House File 582? That
yes.
is the Hanson Metropolitan Area Inflow Infiltration Grant.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that.
Representative Fisher moves the House File 582 adoption report of the Water Division report. Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. The Water Division report is adopted. Representative Fisher, would you like to move that House File 582 be referred to Ways and Means?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 582 be referred to Ways and Means.
With a recommended referral to Capital Investment. Before we vote, is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? Anyone in the audience? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion is adopted. The third one, and Representative Lilly, we've just got one more to do, is the House File 384, Sauk Rochester Willow Creek Trail Funding Provided. I move that House File 384 is re-referred to Ways and Means with a recommended referral to Capital Investment. I would move the following oral amendments on line 1.2 and 1.15, delete $2,500,000 and insert $1,500,000. Members, this reflects the action previously done in committee. Is there any questions about the oral amendment? Any questions? All those in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Amendment is adopted. I renew my motion that House File 384 as amended be re-referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. Is there any discussion? Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Ayes have it. The motion is adopted. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is our bill then before you? I'm sorry.
We're going to move House File 2163, Metropolitan Council Regional Park and Open Space Land Acquisition and Improvement Funding Provided, Bonds Issued, and Money Appropriated. I would move that House File 2163 be recommended to re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing this bill. It's the Metro Parks and Trails request for the bonding bill, if there is one this year or into next year, depending on how that progresses. But certainly this biennium we're hoping to move forward with the projects here. This area of funding is essentially made up of about 10 different groups in Metro, and as you all I hope know, it has one of the most overloved pieces of property in our state. So currently we have over, I think, 60 million people that are visiting these parks and trails in the Metro. I believe this group of entities is above and beyond currently the Mall of America even. So we're well ahead, and if anything, it's overloved and we need some help. With me today I have Mr. Carlson. And he's with the Three Rivers system, and he's kind of speaking for all the systems, so I'm going to pass it to him. In front of you is a wonderful packet, and I think this is really a good story, and appreciate your taking the time. I know everybody's busy, so thank you.
Mr. Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Bo Carlson, I'm the superintendent with Three Rivers Park District, and Representative Lilly is exactly correct. I speak on behalf of the 10 implementing agencies, a few of which are still here in the audience tonight to hear this bill. And certainly a thank you to Representative Lilly for authoring House File 2163. This continues the commitment that the state of Minnesota has had in the Metro Regional Park System. This dates back to 1974 with the Metro Regional Park Act and the financial commitment that the state has made within capital improvements and supporting our system district-wide. So I know Representative Lilly mentioned just a little bit who we are. We've got about 56 parks in the region. We've got about 60 million visitors, 56,000 acres of parkland throughout the system, and 400 miles of regional trail. We're made up of the seven counties and the seven county metro area, as well as three cities. We've got City of Bloomington, we've got City of Minneapolis, and City of St. Paul. And Three Rivers Park District actually represents suburban Hennepin County, so everybody's encompassed within that system. If you look on that second page, this is kind of the crux of everything we've kind of talked about and everything we're kind of dealing with. We've had a rise in the acres of parkland that we've had. We've had a significant rise of miles of regional trail, and we've had a pretty significant rise in visitors as well. So in some cases, there's added demand. As our metro area grows, we now have 3.1 million residents in the metropolitan area, 7-county metro area. There's more and more demand for new parks or additional facilities. We're constantly looking at new opportunities to provide new recreation opportunities within that entire area of the system. And the system that we do have, that in some cases, places like Minneapolis, St. Paul, Three Rivers Park District are many, many years old. In the case of Minneapolis, over 100 years old. So infrastructure that needs to be constantly replaced and constantly repaired, and infrastructure that needs to be improved. This bonding request is for $10 million. This is high priority projects. This is all within our local CIPs, our capital improvement programs. They've all been submitted through the Met Council, so they've all been vetted by our local units of government. They've been vetted by our boards and are ready to go. Essentially, they're as shovel-ready as it gets. And the way we use the money is we actually split it up by formula based on acreage, based on size, based on visitation, by agency, and that chart's provided in the background here. So this goes to all seven counties, capital improvements in all seven counties, as well as the cities themselves. It, again, just continues to invest resources back into this well-loved system. And just a couple examples, we're really talking about asset preservation, new facilities, protecting natural resource land, as well as acquisition. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions that any committee members might have.
Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Carlson or Representative Lilly? Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing this. I neglected in my introduction to mention that we have over 35 authors. I've never had this happen to me before, so I made a clone bill, and I've started filling signatures on that as well, just to see how far we can go. I'm actually kind of curious, but it's both sides of the aisle are very interested in this, and of course, the metro is represented by both sides, and it's, you know, it's definitely a measurement of, you know, people choose to live and work with the, you know, today was Arts Day, but, you know, those things are factors. And obviously, if you do surveys, which many of these counties or municipalities in the metro have made, or even greater Minnesota have made, people choose to live and work based on access to trails and a quality of life. So I definitely support this effort. I hope you consider doing the same, and I think this builds on the work that we're doing in LCCMR and in certainly in the legacy effort too, with the all over the state of Minnesota. So thank you,
Representative Lilly. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Members, any more questions? I will renew my motion that House File 2163 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to mention Three River System is opened up this weekend for free to anybody to use their ski rental or their facilities. So hopefully if people are listening that they consider to get out there and to use that while we still have perfect, well, maybe after the snow and the rain, but they're going to, but it'll be actually a great weekend for that. And anyways, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And members, we're going to go with Representative Pinto because he has another committee to go to. So I will move that House File 1446 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1446 is the Great River Passage River Learning Center. So and I believe you have information in your packets about this project. We, of course, have this amazing resource in our state, the Mississippi River. It's a wonderful resource for our entire state, and it's a particular resource for the community that I serve in St. Paul, river passing right around my district. This is a pretty incredible project. I'm going to turn things over to my testifier to provide more detail about the project itself. And so we'll do that, and then I'll have some comments, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Molly Peterson, and I'm here on behalf of Friends of the Mississippi River, and we are here in support of funding for the River Learning Center. And the reason why we're so supportive of this is that the river is really about bringing people together of all ages, and this forward-thinking mixed-use river-focused center is going to serve as a year-round educational center, recreation center, places for people to canoe, picnic, go hiking, and then it's also going to serve as the headquarters for the National Park Service, and so it would become an educational place where the National Park Service would also be able to educate people who came to the site about the river and its impacts on our economy and our way of life. And so Friends of the Mississippi River engages people to protect and restore the Mississippi River and its watershed with our core values of stewardship, sustainability, leadership, collaboration, integrity, and equity. We are excited to support the River Learning Center because this project is the very essence of these core values. And so on behalf of FMR's members and supporters, we urge you to support the full funding, and that is $3 million for the schematic design and design development of the project. It would take it to the next phase. And we believe that once this project is in place as part of the Great River Passage Initiative, it will transform the riverfront, and it'll help create the next generation of park users and river stewards. So we thank you for your support.
And Mr. Chair, I guess we're probably take some ready for any questions the members may have, Mr. Chair.
Any questions, members? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just wondering, when you said the headquarters of the National Park Service, what kind of facility is that going to be?
So,
Ms. Peterson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund. So right now, the National Park Service is headquartered in Mears Park, and so they're not actually on the river. They're in an office building. So what this building would be, it would be kind of serve a dual purpose. So on the one side, there would be kind of the education and the recreation and the engagement with the river, and then the Park Service headquarters, which would include their offices and meeting space right there on the river, would be the other section. And the National Park Service would be the tenant of the building. The building is would be owned by the City of St. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Representative Pinto. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Eklund. And to confirm, we have the national park that actually runs right through, and folks who are maybe watching this, if there is anybody who is, may not be aware that we actually have a national park right here along the Mississippi River, and so pretty exciting to have the headquarters there. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from members? Do you have any other testifiers, Representative Pinto?
Mr. Chair, we do not. I do not.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Any closing remarks, Representative Pinto?
Mr. Chair, I'll thank you and the members of the committee. I should note that our own family didn't quite even realize that this resource is right there, and I know it'll be really exciting for students and for others to have this important connection with the river. So thank you all.
Thank you. I will renew my motion that House File 1446 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with the recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is approved. Thank you, Representative
Pinto. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
So, members, we have a number of bills left that are of committee members, and with the exception, and Representative Lee is upstairs in testifying in another committee. I'm kind of debating who Representative Morrison is next on the list. To my testifiers, as the chair, I'm going to wait until the other members get through. So, Representative Morrison, if you would like to start. Representative Morrison moves that House, well, why don't you move House File 1079?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 1079, forget where it's going next.
Be recommended to be re-referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment.
Be recommended to re-referred to Ways and Means and then re-referred to Capital Investment.
Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1079 came to me from the Nature Conservancy last fall, actually, when I was running. We all have a connection to water, whether we swim, fish, boat, or simply take a sip of clean water from our faucet, and it's our duty to ensure our water is usable long into the future. So when the Nature Conservancy approached me with their desire to invest a small portion of the state's spending for the protection of clean water in the basin of the iconic Mississippi River and its headwaters, I knew it was a cause I could get behind. This bill, 1079, would invest state bonding dollars for the protection of healthy waters before they're polluted. The bill provides $3 million to the Board of Water and Soil Resources to implement a Reinvest in Minnesota Working Grasslands program. RIM has achieved nearly a 250,000 acres of conservation over the years, and this funding would allow Bowser to expand its toolbox and offer an easement option for landowners who want to keep their land and grass for generations to come while also retaining the right to hay or graze the land. Investing in strategic land protection now is a small investment we can make to avoid the much higher costs of cleaning up a degraded river later down the road. I urge you to support this bill and the long-term investment in clean water protection. And I have a testifier, Todd Holdman, here with me.
Mr. Holdman.
Mr. Chair, Commission, Representative, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I represent the Nature Conservancy, and as introduced, I'm the Mississippi Headwaters Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in our office in Brainerd. So I work directly with partners, collaborations in the whole upper Mississippi Headwaters region. The Nature Conservancy, for those of you that may not be familiar, is an international organization with a mission to conserve lands and waters on which all life depends. And we work to attain that mission through our work to restore and protect native prairies, northern forests, and abundant freshwater resources. As Representative Morris shared, the Nature Conservancy is focused on freshwater, focused our freshwater program on the Mississippi Headwaters Basin, the healthy waters of the state of Minnesota. You can see the map in the handout. We define the basin as the land which encompasses the Mississippi River, its tributaries and lake systems, from its starting point at Lake Itasca all the way down to the drinking water intake in the Twin Cities, serving the drinking water needs of approximately over 1 million people. The Mississippi Basin itself is over 12 million acres of land. Over 1 million people are dependent on the river for drinking water from St. Cloud south. And the basin supports about $2.3 billion in the tourism industry. As a land and water conservation organization, we believe strategic land protection, restoration, and thoughtful land management is vital to ensuring the current health of the Mississippi River and to maintain that quality for generations to come. And across the basin, the historic perennial cover of the forests and grasslands provide natural filter for water, water that flows from lakes, rivers, streams, ultimately ending into the Mississippi River Basin, is our priority. And our intent is not to change the way the land is used today, but to help ensure the land's most important areas for water quality stay in forest and grasslands for the future. House File 1079 is a way to help accomplish this and would provide funding for the Board of Water and Soil Resources to expand its work in the region and to help keep critical grasslands on the land. And I guess I would add that the intent is that these working grasslands would in fact be working with local cattle producers and grazers so that they stayed in their working land status. In addition to advocating for the public dollars to be invested in this region, the Nature Conservancy has invested over $2.5 million of its own privately fundraised dollars for this healthy waters protection in the Mississippi headwaters as well. And some examples that tie directly to the Reinvest in Minnesota Bowser program are the $250,000 that the Nature Conservancy invested in the Pine River Watershed Rim program, and the $36,000 investment to Becker Soil and Water Conservation District. That investment from the Nature Conservancy was to catalyze staff capacity, because sometimes it's boots on the ground where we really run into roadblocks with implementation. So the Nature Conservancy has committed that $2.5 million. I expect more to come. We want to thank you for hearing this opportunity. We think this is a great bill to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions? I actually have a question on line 1.13. The board is authorized to enter into new agreements and amend past agreements. So has that been done before with RIM? Have we amended and added? Would that be adding time, or is that adding land, like adjacent land?
Mr. Chair, committee, I think I'm not familiar with that particular language. What was the line reference again, please?
1.13. You can phone a friend if you'd like.
My phone a friend hasn't, Mr. Chair, has indicated that it was in the original statute language, so it isn't a change and it wouldn't apply.
It's not a change. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? Representative Morrison, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for hearing the bill. This is good evidence-based policy for protecting our waters, so I urge support. Thank you.
Representative Morrison renews her motion that House File 1079 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion's adopted.
Thank you.
Representative Eklund. Representative Eklund, we're going to do the Babbitt one first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 2176 be re-referred to Ways and Means and then re-referred to capital investment.
Proceed, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This Babbitt Recreation Area is a $750,000 bond appropriation to help the city of Babbitt construct a campground. This campground and recreation area on Birch Lake. This campground will be adjacent to ATV, snowmobile trails, and the Babbitt land or the Birch Lake Landing in Babbitt for summertime use. And it's a good project for this little town, and I'll stand for questions.
Any questions for members? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Representative Eklund, any closing remark?
Thank you for hearing the bill, Mr. Chair, and the city of Babbitt would be appreciative of it moving on to capital investment.
Representative Eklund renews his motion that House File 2176 be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion approved. Silver Bay, House File 2140.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2140, I move House File 2140 be referred to Ways and Means and then be re-referred to capital investment.
Representative Eklund moves that House File 2140 be recommended to go to Ways and Means and be re-referral. Is there anyone? Could you describe the bill, Representative Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill is last year the city of Silver Bay received a bonding award for Black Beach Campground, and now the Lake County is building some mountain bike trails adjacent to the area where Black Beach Campground is going to be. And so we got together with the city of Silver Bay and Lake County and decided that maybe a common trailhead would be a good idea for all the trails that are coming in for the people that folks that aren't familiar with it. The Prospector Trail Loop, ATV Trail will be coming by there. The Gitchigami Trail, the bike trail comes by there. It's Lake Superior Hiking Trail, I believe it's called, goes through the area, and there's numerous snowmobile trails. So for coordination, parking, and all that kind of stuff, the city of Silver Bay decided that a common trailhead for all these trails would be the appropriate thing to do. They have the land available and the parking available already, so it appears to me to be a good project.
Is there anyone in the any questions for Representative Eklund about Silver Bay House File 2140? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? Anyone in the audience? Representative Eklund, any closing remarks?
Well, I think it's a good trail for the North Shore. It'll help to bring get a few more people to stop in Silver Bay, because a lot of times right now Silver Bay is just a pass-through as people are heading the rest of the way up the shore, and it'll be good for the community, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Eklund renews his motion that House File 2140 be recommended to be re-referred to Ways and Means with the recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. Representative Eklund, Crane Lake, House File 2108.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 2108 be referred to Ways and Means with the next referral to Capital Investment.
Could you describe the bill, Representative Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill is appropriation for the city of Crane Lake, township of Crane Lake, to build a public campground that will go along with the eventual visitor center that we're trying to build at the gateway to Voyageurs National Park, one of the gateways to Voyageurs National Park. Crane Lake is the only community in the national park system at Voyageurs National Park that does not have a visitor center. And so this is all part of the process of getting a visitor center facility built in the township of Crane Lake.
Members, do you have any questions for Representative Eklund? Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Eklund, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is a good project. There's nothing but good projects in District 3A, Mr. Chair.
They're all awesome. Representative Eklund renews his motion that House File 2108 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Motion is approved. So, Representative Eklund, if you would like to take the gavel.
Representative Hanson, you care to move House File 1598?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 1598 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I have with me the city manager for the city of West St. Paul to talk about lift stations for wastewater lift stations for the city of West St. Paul. Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, I'm Ryan Schroeder. I'm the city manager for the city of West St. Paul.
Welcome to the committee, and please proceed.
Mr. Chair, representatives, as Chair Hanson mentioned, we're here to request partial funding for lift stations in the city of West St. Paul. over the next 3 years, we have about $6.3 million in lift stations and force mains that are top priorities for us for replacement. The reason is our sanitary system is between 60 and 100 years old. The lift stations that we're looking at are 60 years old, and we're currently not able to find replacement parts for them. The lift stations in total, well, let me back up. A sanitary system, as everybody probably knows, the goal of a sanitary system is gravity flow. But we're not able to do that in every case. In our case, we have 6 lift stations. In total, we pump 1.7 million gallons per day out of those 6 lift stations, which represents about 80% of the flows out of our community. As a result of a lot of infrastructure that's need to occur in the community, including infrastructure related to Met Council demanded I&I improvements, our sanitary system is tapped out. Our rates relative to our neighbors, the average of our neighbors relative to our rates is we're 66% higher than the rates of our neighbors, and our tax rate is kind of in a similar position, and as a result of that situation, as well as the significant concern we have for the stability and continued operation of these facilities, we're asking for state support in funding half of the cost of our, these lift stations that we are hoping to construct or reconstruct.
Thank you. Is there anybody in the crowd, in the audience that wish to testify before, for or against this bill? Any members' questions? Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question. Is there any reason you're going this route instead of going to the Public Facilities Authority for money through there?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fisher, we actually had a bill for the Public Facilities Authority that was heard in that relevant committee, but it's very rare that the Public Facilities Authority would fund projects in the metro area.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you. I appreciate that additional information.
Any other questions? With that, Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 1598 be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails.
Next one, 1081, the Forest for the Future. Mr. Chair, I'd move that House File 1081 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a re-referral to the Capital Investment Committee.
Please proceed.
House File 1081 is Forest for the Future. We have seen this bill in prior legislative sessions. It appropriates $7 million from the bond proceeds fund to the Commissioner of Natural Resources for the Forest for the Future program. And I have with me from the Nature Conservancy a prior testifier.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed, even though you did earlier.
Mr. Chair, committee, thank you. Todd Holman, Mississippi Headwaters Program Director for the Nature Conservancy and my office in Brainerd. I'll dispense with the introduction of the organization as I did before and just move into our advocacy for House File 1081. It's one way to help accomplish this. It would help provide funding for the Department of Natural Resources Forest for the Future program, which we are working to support in the Mississippi Headwaters actively with not only the Nature Conservancy's work, but the collaboration of partners that work on those same objectives in the Mississippi Headwaters area. The fund would be used for voluntary permanent easements on private lands, which would require a management plan and provide access to cost share programs. Landowners can still use the land that would be under this Forest for the Future easement for recreation, hunting, and timber harvest in accordance with the specific to the site-specific management plan. In addition to advocating for the public dollars to be invested in this region in recent years, again, the Conservancy has already invested $2.5 million in the Healthy Waters region, the Mississippi Headwaters, and we anticipate to continue to support partners, collaborations, and programs such as this. Specifically, of the $2.5 million of private fundraised support that the Nature Conservancy has put in this region, $1 million of that money has been dedicated specifically to DNR Minnesota Forests for the Future program. We're that strong of an advocate of this program. We thank you for your considering this bill and hope you will include this important conversation and conservation program in the final bonding bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holman. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Any members' questions? I have one, Mr. Holman. Have you already worked with the landowners? Are you targeting landowners for these easements, or what's the process, assuming we get this appropriation?
My specific role is to convene, coordinate, and facilitate several partnerships in the headwaters. One of them is Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape. We have four or five of these partnerships. And in each of these partnerships, which are made of local governments, state partners, the Forest for the Future program is prominent and one of the tools that we use to execute landowner targeting. So we do provide the boots on the ground to help facilitate the DNR's Forest for the Future program. It's often actioned through the Soil and Water Conservation District staff, outdoor knocking with several programs, and one of them is Minnesota Forest for the Future. Once we get landowners that seem to align best with the Forest for the Future program, then we can connect them to the DNR staff to facilitate the easement transaction. So it's a really important network of using this DNR Forest for the Future program to implement that specific benefiting private landowner group.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Holman. Any other questions? Representative Hansen, any closing remarks?
It's a great program. Appreciate your support.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 1081 be recommended to be re-referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. House File 1854, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 1854 to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a re-referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Joe. Please proceed.
House File 1854 is the Dakota County Pedestrian Bicycle Trail appropriation, and I have with me former member, now Commissioner Atkins, who loves getting questions from people. So he's going to talk a little bit about House File 1854.
Welcome to the committee. Commissioner, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Atkins, representing Dakota County. I'm on the Dakota County Board, and I wanted to start first by thanking Chairman Hansen for carrying this fine bill. We've got 10 miles of critical trail gaps and 10 dangerous crossings within our park system and our greenway system. We have over 400,000 people in Dakota County. It's the 8% of the state's population resides in Dakota County, third most populous county in the state of Minnesota, and folks love their trails and their open spaces, Mr. Chairman. Just one of our trails alone, Mississippi River Regional Trail, has over 200,000 users. And unfortunately, we're also a growing county, and we put those users, those families and cyclists and walkers in direct conflict with heavy trains and trucks and trash truck traffic. This bill will help solve that. We're asking for $22.75 million to plug those 10 miles of critical trail gaps and those 10 dangerous crossings. So it's both public safety, but it also connects people to the river and with parks and open spaces. And we'd appreciate your support. And again, thank you to Representative Hansen and the committee for hearing this bill. With me today, by the way, is Steve Sullivan, our Parks Director, who is happy to answer any technical questions, but I'll take a swing at any that you may have as well.
Thanks, Commissioner. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Is there any members' questions? We had a chance to go after one of our
former colleagues here.
I'm a big shot.
I should note that it is a regional system, and these are trails of regional significance.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that note. Representative Fabian isn't here, but he asked me a question last week, and I promised to get back to him. The how much of an investment has come from Dakota County? It's in excess of $60 million has come from either Dakota County or partners. $30-plus million alone has come from Dakota County taxpayers. So we're not asking you to do this solely out of the state's coffers. We're a partner in this.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any closing remarks, Representative Hansen?
It's a great bill, as the last couple have been, or actually the last six have been. So I'd appreciate your support.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 1854 be recommended to be re-referred to Ways and Means with a recommended re-referral to Capital Investment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails.
Representative Lee, House File 2132.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2132 in front of the committee and with a referral to Capital Investment, or to Ways and Means with a recommended referral to Capital Investment.
Proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, this bill is asking for an appropriation of $3 million from the bond proceeds funds to design and construct the River Link, or the 26th Avenue North Overlook Project in my district. The Riverlink 26th Avenue North Overlook Project is located at the east end of the 26th Avenue North Bike and Pedestrian Trail. That's in my district. The trail is a recently completed project that connects the Grand Rounds at Theodore Ward Regional Park with the Mississippi River through the heart of North Minneapolis. It is the western segment of the future Great Northern Greenway across Minneapolis trail network that will connect north and northeast Minneapolis across the river. The Riverlink project will celebrate the Greenway's arrival at the river with a small but compelling public space that is now an unsightly and inaccessible dead-end street where dense vegetation and a chain-link fence blocks the river. The Riverlink project is a major step in transforming the entire river corridor through North Minneapolis into public parkland, parkway, and trails. Mr. Chair, before I turn it over to my testifier, I want members to know that this is a significant project to my district and our region because North Minneapolis is a diverse, vibrant, and economically disenfranchised community and has been consistently cut off from the access to our great rivers for decades. This appropriation will connect my constituents and other Minnesotans to the great regional park and trail system we have and are planning to improve. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn it over.
Yes, Mr. Chair, my name is Adam Arvidson, and I'm with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. I just have a couple of quick things to add. In addition to the overlook itself is located just about a quarter mile north of the northern end of the existing Minneapolis Grand Rounds. So by constructing this overlook and creating that linkage, we actually create a 40-mile loop that runs through North Minneapolis and all the way around the city of Minneapolis, taking in many of the regional and state significant features there, including Chain of Lakes and Minnehaha Falls. That loop also connects to trails heading to the north and west. So if you're coming in from Champlin or Hutchinson, it would be possible to ride all the way to Minnehaha Falls from those locations. So connecting this local system to the state and regional system is another big part of this project. I'd ask if you recognize my colleague Tom Evers, who's going to talk a little bit about the community engagement around this project.
Mr. Evers.
Thank you. Chair Hansen, members, Representative
Lee. My name is Tom Evers. I'm with the Minneapolis Parks Foundation, and we've been working with the Park Board and the city to bring this vision alive. The 2 points I really want to add to this is that we've been doing deep engagement in the community. This overlook and this trail is just less than a half mile from North Minneapolis neighborhood. We've been engaged with several groups, including Juxtaposition Arts, Asian Media Access, Urban Strategies, Hawthorne Huddle, the Minneapolis Slow Roll, and all of these are where the community is realizing how close they are to the river. Many of the kids that we've been, we hired a design group, and this is giving job training skills to teenagers and young adults on the design realm, and they've been thinking about this space with us. For many, this is the first time they've realized that the nationally significant Mississippi River is right at their doorstep. And for many, it's been the first time they got on the river. And now they're starting to get into college on design careers because of this space. So we also will note that the Parks Foundation is bringing significant philanthropic support because within Minneapolis, this is seen as a really important entree to the river. And so we're a key partner. We appreciate you thinking about it. We're really excited for all that this brings.
Members, do you have any questions? Representative Lee or the testifier? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against Representative Lee's bill? Representative Lee, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to present this bill, and this will mean a lot to not just my constituents, but, you know, as been mentioned here, for the region, for the state of Minnesota. So I just want to say thank you for the consideration.
Representative Lee renews his motion that House File 2132 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommended re-referral to capital investment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Divided vote. The motion prevails. Congratulations, Representative Lee. Members, with that, I believe that is the last bill of the evening for the committee. We will be meeting again on Thursday. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I wish that had been here a little earlier. I could have voted no one. Well, I guess there's still been three against us. Never mind.
The meeting is adjourned.